Isn't this a good day? This is special. When we have these days and we make a special effort to invite guests and friends and family and to have you come, I know we have so many that you're new here. This may be your first time. We have many that you're a returning face, and it is exciting to see all of you and to have us all here today. It is a big deal for us. It's special. And so thank you. Thank you for being here and joining us this morning. Recently, back at Christmas time, I received a watch for Christmas from my oldest, and a smartwatch. And I had had one before, and so when I received this, I immediately commenced to setting it up. And so I pulled out the instructions and placed them to the side, of course. Who needs those? And, you know, how hard could it be? It's Bluetooth and it's an app on my phone. And so I commenced to setting this up, and I go and I find the app with the name, with the watch, and I download it. And I'm doing all this and it won't work. I can't get to work. So I keep working on it. And I can't get to work. And I'm thinking, this can't be that hard. And I keep working, I can't get to work. And finally, I even break down and do the dreaded. I call the company. I call them. And the guy I talk to, he says, you know, he talks to me, it doesn't take long. And he says, what app are you using? I tell him, he says, it's the wrong app. It's the wrong app. You need to go download this app, which I did. And immediately, everything works fine. So the funny thing about that is, would you believe in the instructions, right? Had I read them, okay? So that's why the title of this lesson today is Secrets. Secrets to Improving Relationships, because we have an instruction manual. We have an instruction manual from the creator, from the designer, and it's a secret only because we won't open it. Sometimes we know Scripture, and we just don't use it, or maybe we won't search it. And so today, turn in your Bibles, just one main passage we'll look at today, 1 Corinthians 13. And so improving relationships, if you are married, do anyone need help improving a relationship? If you have children, anyone raising children and could use some help in improving relationships, or parents? Anyone have parents that can be a struggle in a relationship? Co-workers, employees, employers, teachers, relationships. We all could use a little help with that. So today's lesson, these principles, we'll look at six of them from 1 Corinthians 13, and they'll apply to all types of relationships that we have. So starting out, number one. Listen to understand, not to respond. Now, this may seem real simple, but it's amazing how few times we as people actually listen to someone for the purpose of trying to understand them. You may be able to relate to this. Anyone seen this on social media? This is, you know, guys think one way. Females tend to think a different way. And so listening to understand can be a challenge sometimes. And most people in conflict, when they're in conflict, they're listening for one purpose, and that is to respond. They're not listening to understand. They're listening to make a counter argument. So from 1 Corinthians 13, we see that love is patient. We see that love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. In other words, you know, these are ideas that say when I'm talking with someone, especially in some kind of, some kind of disagreement, I need to listen to understand them. I need to have patience. I need to not be rude and butt in. I need to not try to insist on my own way. This statement, I think, is powerful. One of the most beautiful qualities of true friendship is to understand and to be understood. It's a rare thing. And a passage from James, you know, I look at this passage, you've probably seen this before, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You've probably heard that before, that scripture. And sometimes, once in a while, I'll come back to this, and it amazes me, because I'll come back to this scripture, slow quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I'm amazed how much wisdom there is in this. Because I can understand it in a setting where I'm in front of my Bible, but then in life, I lose it. I lose track of this. I don't always do this. My wife and I, Stephanie and I, we used to argue a lot. And we still argue, but we used to argue a lot. And a lot of our arguments would go something like this. She would say, "You never..." And one of those was, "You never tell me things." So she would find out, you know, somebody's pregnant, they're excited, they're gonna have a baby, and everybody knew, and she'll ask me, "Did you know that?" "Yeah, you didn't tell me." And it'll be somebody's getting married. I mean, you know, big life events, things that most of you females, like, these are important to you. I mean, you hear them and you log them and you share them. And so I don't naturally do that. And we'd have arguments. She'd say, "You never tell me things." But as soon as she said, "You never," and I heard whatever it was, I immediately, she keeps talking, but immediately I go into search mode. I go into search mode because I know I have her. She said never. All I have to find is one time, folks. So I go into search mode. She's talking, and in my mind is think. When did you tell her something? When did you tell her? She's still talking. I'm not hearing anything now. When did you tell her something? Got it. Okay. She's still talking, and I'm just now, I'm leaning forward like I'm listening. I'm just waiting to get back in there. As soon as I can get her to quit, I'm in. And she finally stops. And I say, "That's not true, because just last Tuesday I told you, you know, Jimbo, he got a job at blah, blah, blah." That's how you listen to respond, right? But that's not how you listen to understand. And so much conflict between individuals is the fact that they're both taking turns talking, but neither one is really listening. And I'll even confess that having two teenage daughters at home, I'm not the best at this. I'm not the best at listening to understand. I'm pretty good at listening to correct. I'm pretty proficient at that. All right, so that's number one. Number two, don't assume and jump to conclusions. Don't assume and jump to conclusions. Have you seen this? A wife texts her husband on a cold winter morning. Window's frozen, won't open. I had this the other day. I couldn't get my car, my truck door open. It's frozen. Husband texts back, "Gently pour some lukewarm water over it, then gently tap the edges with a hammer." Wife texts back 10 minutes later, "The computer is really messed up now." It's amazing how we jump to conclusions, right? So Sydney is... Sydney does the same thing every weekday. She goes to school, she gets out of school, she goes to work, she works at Spoon Drug, she gets off at 6, she comes home every day. One day it's about 6:30 and she's not home. So I, start to try to figure this out. I think, where is she? What is she doing? She gets off at 6, she should be home by now. Where is she? What is she doing? Maybe she's been in an accident, right? Why the mind goes straight to the accident, and then it's a short leap from there. She's lying in a ditch. She's taking her last breath. Where is she? And so now I'm all worried. The adrenaline's pumping. She's lying in a ditch dead, and she did not tell me she was going to be late, and so I call her. Thank goodness for cell phones. I call her. No answer. She does not answer. I go into full, I'm really hyped now. You're not going to answer your phone. By the way, jumping to conclusions. How often do we do this? You text someone or call them. They won't answer me. They won't answer their phone. They won't answer my text. Right? It's never that, well, they haven't seen that I called yet. They haven't seen that I text them yet. Anyway, so I'm full on jumping to all these conclusions. She finally does answer, and I'm mad, and I say, "Where are you?" She says, "I'm at Jenna's. I asked you yesterday if I could go over to her house and do homework after you got off work, and you said okay." Oh. Why didn't you answer your phone earlier? See, I still have her on this one. Why didn't you answer your phone earlier? My phone was dying, and I plugged it in, and I had to go to the restroom. Oh.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
You know, we have scripture that we see. Love is patient. Love believes, how about this? Believes all things, hopes all things. What does that mean? It means if we're going to jump to some conclusions, jump to the good ones. Think positive. I mean, assume the best. Be patient in how we evaluate situations. Sometimes, isn't it amazing that sometimes we know one little nugget of information about a scenario. All we have is one small piece of information, like she's not home. It's 6:30 and she's not home. That's what I had. And we can paint an entire picture. We can make an entire movie and fill in all the gaps and all this information, and we're jumping to conclusions. Number three, how about this one? Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. Cover your mouth. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, love is patient. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. We need to do this in person, by the way. If you're actually with another individual speaking words out loud and hearing, right? This is how people used to talk this way years ago. But in person, we need to be kind. And sometimes the thought's here and it's here, and you just about have to slap your mouth to keep it from coming out. We need to do this on social media. In relationships, we need to do this. You know, it was a while back that I decided on political posts online that I would start to filter what I would post through these three things. I would ask myself: is this arrogant? Is this rude? Is this condescending? And if what I'm going to post, although I might say it's true, if it's one of those three things, then it's rude, and we need to bite our tongue. We need to stop sometimes. We get fixated on the problems of this world, don't we? And we take our eyes off of the solution, and that's Jesus. We need to slow down. How about this? James 3:5, this is from the New Century Version. It is the same with the tongue. It is a small part of the body, but it brags about great things. A big forest fire can be started with only a little flame, and the tongue is like a fire. It is a whole world of evil among the parts of the bodies. The tongue spreads its evil through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell, and it starts a fire that influences all of life. There's so much power in what we say. And in a minute, I want to share the good power. When we say good things, they're powerful. They're very powerful. And when we say hurtful things, they're very powerful. Hateful things that are said cannot be unsaid. I've said things I wish I could take back. And when we do that, that impacts a relationship, doesn't it? In all kinds of relationships. When things come out, we've said them, we can't unsay them. We can apologize for them. And there's a lot of value in that. We can apologize, but it doesn't erase what was said. And so, you know, back to James 1:19, I mean, it sounds so simple, but be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. In my marriage, I used to start a lot of fires. I still start one once in a while. I used to be a pyro. Right? The tongue can start some fires. Isn't that true? And I've been guilty of starting a lot of them. Number four, be humble enough to admit when you're wrong. You may feel about like this when admitting you're wrong about something. You know? Or this one, in the middle of an argument, you know, you realize you're wrong. It can be difficult just to get the words out, right? For some people, even more difficult than others. But love is kind. It bears all things. And part of admitting you're wrong is bearing responsibility for a mistake. And when we admit we're wrong, we're admitting we are human. But for some reason... I know I'm not the only one, that there's something in me that says, don't do, you know, when I'm trying to apologize, there's something in my body that says, hold on, this is a bad idea. Do not, you know what I mean? Never let them see you sweat. The old commercial. Don't admit that you said something wrong. But I've learned in relationships, it is incredibly healing to apologize or to be apologized to. And this week I've been on the giving end of apologies, and I've been on the receiving end of apologies. They heal a relationship. They can't undo, they don't undo. But it's amazing how powerful they are. And even think about this one. I've started implementing this in even in our family. We've done this a little bit. And that is, if you're in a bad mood, if you're having a bad day, if you have your crabby britches on, just tell everyone. Okay? So in my family, once in a while, one of us will say, I'm not having a good day. I'm not in a good mood. And basically, that's a preemptive apology. Right? Preemptive. Saying, if I act weird today, I'm just putting it on the table right now. I'm not doing good. Not having a good day. I don't feel good. I'm not in a good mood. And I've been amazed how helpful that is. It's bearing responsibility for how you're doing and what you might say. Not that you intend to, but how you might act. Anyway, it's amazing. James 5:16 says, reminds us, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. There's so much good that comes from saying, you know what, I messed up. Or even, you know, a baby step for some of us, if we need to take baby steps to get there, then tell someone you wish you had done this or that different. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had not acted that way. All right, number five. We have two more. Receive by giving, not taking. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that love does not insist on its own way. It does not insist on its own way. If you ever have, anyone have problems with coworkers? Coworker, you know, you got a coworker that's, they're rude, they're, you know, they're crabby, they're cranky. They, you know, they're not acting right, not doing right. You ever have a coworker that does that?
Never.
Right. That's a lie. That's a lie. We'll have a song for Keith. He'll be singing a song here in a minute for himself. If you do, but I have a prescription. Listen, you go to Quick Trip, you get a thing called a frozen cappuccino. You fill that thing to the top, slap a lid on it, and you bring it and you give it to your coworker. I give that to Janet once in a while when she's acting really rude and hateful, and she perks right up. She perks right up. You know, through the years, this doesn't happen as much, but it used to happen a lot with Sydney and Abby. They would be playing, and you kind of hear them. They wouldn't be very loud, but I would know they were playing, and then all of a sudden, I can tell they're in an argument. And what the argument sounds like is this. Sydney, no. Sydney, no. Sydney, no. And what that is Abby trying to get Sydney to do something she don't want to do. I don't want to do that. And they're trying to figure out how to play or what to do or what movie to watch or game to play, whatever. And one's trying to force the other one. And the other one's passive aggressive and good at it, right? And good at it. But isn't it amazing how much we try to get out of relationships? Just think of a relationship, right? We are relational. God made us this way. We need each other, don't we? Whatever the relationship, whatever it is, we need and we want, and we try to get directly from someone. We try to get them to do A, B, or C for us. And God tells us, listen, it doesn't work that way. You can't get your marriage to work that way. You can't get parent-child relationship. You can't get co-workers, friends, whatever family, whatever relationship, it does not work that way. We receive by giving. And number six, this one's kind of strange. But number six, it is hard to dislike someone who likes you. This sounds very, very simple, but give this some thought. Take this away this morning and think about it for a while. You know, so Scripture tells us love is kind. And I'll add to that, remember this one, which sounds so bizarre. I say to you, love your enemies. That sounds so wrong and counterintuitive. Love your enemies, do good to those, do good, right? Do good to those who hate you. And I told a grade schooler this past week, hey, when you have people that treat you badly at school, You treat them good. Do good to them. Brag on them. There are two things that are very, very powerful in a relationship. One is appreciation, showing appreciation. Try it. Show someone that you're struggling with, show them appreciation of some kind. Tell them, I appreciate you did A, B, or C. I really like that. Thank you. Or the other one is give them a compliment. Just an old-fashioned compliment. I like that outfit. You did so great at this or that. Compliment them. It is an experience that I've grown in. And so I guess I'm on a roll with confessions this morning. Let me put another one out there. There have been times in my journey as a minister, even before coming here, but even here too, there have been people that, individuals in our church family that I thought didn't like me, for whatever reason, personality clashes, whatever it was, on the human side, I really didn't like them all that much either, truthfully, right? Not saying I didn't love them, not saying I didn't need to grow and, right, all that, but then once in a while, that same person that I was convinced they don't like me, and they kind of get on my nerves too, and I don't even think I like them either. And next thing I know, they compliment me on something. They tell me they appreciated me about something. I like them now. Call me shallow, right? It's not quite as simple as I'm making it, but it is very powerful. It is hard to dislike someone who you think likes you, right? Very simple. But what did God tell us? It's been in this instruction manual, right, for years and years and years. Do good to your enemies. It sounds strange. It sounds wrong, but there's so much wisdom in it. Next week, I want you to know that next week, the lesson, we're going to continue this thought into a second lesson on this topic of relationships, and it will be dealing with differences. If you have any weirdos in your life, if you have any people that, like, they're just different, they think different. This relationship with me and them, I'm struggling because I don't, they're on a whole nother plane or level or planet. I don't always get them. And so next week we're going to have 4 points from Scripture about dealing with those differences. We're going to have an invitation song in just a moment. And you may be here this morning and have something on your heart. You may have something that you'd like us to lift up to God in prayer for you. There may be one here this morning that, in the time being here, what I love about coming here on Sunday mornings is it puts me where I need to be with my compass in God. And being here might have brought to the forefront in your life the fact that you're not ready to meet God. You need to give your life to Christ. You've never had your sins washed away. You may be here as a guest of ours. We invite, someone invited you, and we love and thank you. We love that you're here. But our theme this year is changed by Jesus. And there's no greater friend than Jesus Christ. And there is no one that can change your life like Jesus Christ. And so if you have a need that we can help you with this morning, let us. And please come while we stand and sing.
Be sweet, I know.